Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Ayin Tes, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, the end of the first wide line, Hamelech Vakala Yirchatzu As Pneim. We had learnt in the Mishnah at the beginning of Perek a machlokes between Rav Elezer and the Chachamim regarding certain individuals, what they may or may not do on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah said, Hamelech v'akala yirchatzus pneim. Melech and akala are allowed to wash their faces. V'chay or tinel is a sandal. A woman that just had a child is allowed to put on shoes. Divrei Rav Elezer. V'cham oitzrim. And as when we learned the Mishnah, we asked regarding which issue are Rav Elezer and the Chacham arguing. Are they arguing strictly about what a chaya, what a woman that just had a baby, is permitted, or are they also arguing regarding the melech and the kala? This, amongst other issues, are what the Gemara is now going to address. Says the Gemara, Masni Samani, who is the Tanav Mishnah? Says the Gemara, B'chanani ben Tradin hi. It's going according to B'chanani ben Tradin. The Tanya, Hamelech v'kala lo yachatzus p'neim. The Chachamim hold that a melech and a kala may not wash their faces. That a melech and a kala may wash the faces. So now we see that the machloikis of Rav Elezer and the Chachamim is not limited to the question of a chaya, about a woman that had a baby. They also are arguing regarding a melech and a kala. Next machloikis, a chaya lo yitinel as a sandal. According to the Chachamim, a chaya may not put on shoes. That she may put on shoes. And now the Gemara begins to discuss each one of these people, why they get a special dispensation. My tama melech, or as we have a gears on the side, melech my tama. Why does a king have a dispensation that he's allowed to wash his face? Says the Gemara, the king, we want to see him beautiful. Beautiful means that he's allowed to wash his face. Mefarshim explained, there are two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is the king has to look beautiful. Or another way of looking at it is we have an obligation to respect the king. And we have to do everything, the king has to do everything to engender that respect. So what does he do? He makes himself look beautiful and that brings respect. The Mefarshim ask that the Mishnah says that a melech is allowed to wash his face wearing shoes. The Mishnah doesn't give the melech a heter. If we're saying that we want to make the king look beautiful, so we should allow him to wear shoes also. So I saw three terutzim to the question. One question is they used to wear robes. So the king could wear a long robe. They won't see he's not wearing shoes. Another terutz says he could wear beautiful slippers. They don't have to be made out of leather. And a third terutz I saw a little more lumdish. We've been discussing many times over the last couple of shiurim the machlokes rishonim, if the other inuyim, not eating and drinking, are considered midaraisa derabbanan. And we said, according to the Rambam and other rishonim, all the inuyim are deraisa. So we discussed the other day, if the inuy is a deraisa, all the inuyim are deraisa, why does the Gemara say that one may wash part of his body? So we explain that when is something is in, when does the Rambam hold that something is an inui? When you do it entirely. But if you only do it partially, it's certainly not asma deraisa. So that's why the Rambam will agree. If you're only washing part of your body, it's not called rechitza. By shoes, you can't do it partially. You can't put on the shoes and not put on the shoes. And according to the Rambam, an inui, which is asma deraisa, there's no permission to do it, unless you could only do it partially. And since shoes can't be worn only partially, you have no right to wear shoes. Kala maitama. What's the reason a kala is allowed to wash a face? Kadesh letuzgan al bala. That she should look beautiful for her husband. And like we quoted from the Mishnah Berura, when we learned the Mishnah, nowadays, says the Mishnah Berura, that we spend the entire day in shul, so the husband doesn't see the wife anyway, so there is no heter for kala to wash her face. Amar Amalei Rav Rav Chia, Kalat Kama, until when is someone considered a Kala? Amalei Kretanya, as we learned in the Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Ksubis, Ein Moinim Tachshitim in a Kala, Shloshim Yoyim. The Gemara there is quite involved. We'll just pick up what's relevant to our sugya. That if Chas V'Sholem, a Kala's mother, passes away, so even though she has Shiva and Shloshim, and during Shiva and Shloshim, a Ovel has certain halachas, a woman who's a Kala during those 30 days is allowed to put on jewelry. Why? Since she just got married, she's a newlywed, we want her to look beautiful for her husband. Similarly here, if she got married within 30 days of Yom Kippur, we allow her to wash her face, even though it's normally prohibited. The next thing we said was a chaya tinsel sandal. A woman that just had a child is allowed to wear shoes. Why? Mishum tzina, because it's cold. Like the Mefarshim explained, during childbirth, a woman loses blood, so she's more susceptible to cold, and that's why we let her wear shoes. And again, as we learned in the Mishnah from Shlomo Salman Orbach, nowadays that we have shoes that are not leather, that are just as good as leather shoes, there's some people that never wear leather shoes, there is no heter for a woman that just had childbirth, just had a child, to put on shoes. There's a very interesting vort from the Or Sameach. He says, that he quotes a shiltis that says, Chaya doesn't mean a woman who had a child. Chaya means a midwife. A woman who's helping women have children. And since she has to be available on Yom Kippur to help women have children, we allow her to wear shoes. And Or Sameach says a very nice raya to Rav Pshat. He says, if Chaya means a woman that just had children, so what does the Gemara ask, and how, until when? How long is she considered a woman that just had a child that she's allowed to wear shoes? The Gemara doesn't ask that question, and only asked it by a Kala. Why? Because we're not referring to a woman who had a child. We're referring to a woman who helps women have children. So there's no time frame. She always needs to be available, and that's what Chaya means. Says one more, Din Shmuel, Emach Mesekonis Achrav, if there's a concern about scorpions, mutter, one may wear shoes. So the Rishonim ask, of course, it's sakonas nefashis. And for sakonas nefashis, everything is mutter. You're allowed to eat. You're certainly allowed to put on shoes. So I saw two answers. One answer is that we're not talking that it's for sure that there are scorpions in that area. It's a suffix. And the Shmuel is telling us that even in a situation of a suffix, one may wear shoes. Another teretz I saw, which is relevant, l'halacha. A person lives in a place where there's this concern about scorpions. There's no concern of scorpions in his home. There's concern of scorpions in the street. So perhaps he should stay home. Don't walk out of your house on Yom Kippur, and you won't have to put on shoes. Teaches us Shmuel that even though you could stay home and not have to wear shoes, and like this you're walking outside, you're going to shul, going to shul supersedes wearing shoes. And wear the shoes, supersedes wearing shoes, wear the shoes, even though you're not supposed to on Yom Kippur, rather than sitting home and not wearing shoes. Which is not the halacha regarding eating. Now, let's say you have a person who's not well. But if he stays home in bed a whole day Yom Kippur, he can make it through the day. If he'll go to shul, he can't. The halacha is he should stay at home. But for shoes, Shmuel is telling us, rather go to shul with shoes than stay home. So we learned in the Mishnah that what is the shear? How much food does one eat? And it's chayim for eating in Yom Kippur. Ha'oichel k'kesev sagasa, a large date. Boy rapapa, k'kesev sh'amru. When the Mishnah said that one is not allowed to eat a k'kesev, is it begrinosa or beloy grinosa? Does it include its pit or not? So this is a very difficult question to understand. As it's obvious, the Mishnah is very explicit what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Ha'oichel k'kesev sagasa, Kamayu Kagrinasa. So the Mishnah is explicit. What's Rapa Pishayla? So there's a lot of different Pshatim in the Rishonim. Rashi says what the Gemara means to ask, does the Mishnah mean it with its pit? Does it mean the fruit alone? The size of the fruit alone? Or the size of the pit alone? So the Tosfos Rishonim asks, if it means the fruit alone or the pit alone, so the Mishnah should have said that. What's Rashi's explanation of the Gemara? So Taisus Yeshanim explains that what's bothering Rav Papa to begin with is that our Mishnah is somewhat different than any other Mishnah in Shas. We have numerous times in Mishnayos that the Mishnah talks about the shear being a kazayas. Do we ever see that the Mishnah mentions the word kazayas and its pit? The Mishnah says kazayas, an olive. The fact that our Mishnah didn't just say koseves, it included its pit, leads us to need to understand what does the Mishnah mean. And perhaps, as the Sikh Yitzchak picks up, according to Rashi's explanation, what the Mishnah is teaching us is, in some places the fruit of the date is larger than the pit, in some places the date is larger than the fruit, and we need to know, what should we do? That's how Rashi learns. There are other pshatim in the Rishonim. Another pshat that the Rishonim learn is that what a papa means to ask is, does kamayu grinasa mean take the fruit with its pit, and then add to it grinasai, also add to that amount the size of a pit, which will significantly enlarge the shear, and that's the shear that's also. Another way of learning the Gemara is that in a fruit, in the date itself, it's an interesting phenomena. There's the fruit, then there's a space, and then there's the empty space, and then there's the pit. The Gemara's question is, when we're trying to determine the size, do we include that empty space in deciding the size, or is that empty space not included? Another way of learning, k'may grinasai, the Mishnah said, k'seves agasa. So the Mishnah very explicitly said, a large date. The question is, what about the pit? Is it a large pit or a regular sized pit? Does the word gasa only refer to the fruit, or does the word gasa also apply to the date, to the pit? By Rav Ashi, now Rav Ashi asks the Shaila. Many times in Shas we find a shear called etzem kasaira, a bone the size of a barley. Now the question is, b'kli pasay, b'leki pasay. When we look at the barley, do we look at it when it still has its shell on, or its peel on, or not? B'lacha or b'yavesh, a moist one or a dry one? Obviously, a moist barley is larger than a dry one. Says the Gemara. Rav Ashi lemibayla had Rav Papa. Rav Ashi did not have Rav Papa shayla. We only find that each one asked a different shayla, but they didn't ask the other one shayla. Because Rav Ashi says, the Mishnah is very clear. Gase itmar. The Mishnah is very clear. It's a gasa. Kol kama de gasa, the largest size. Rav Papa lo mipel b'ayla had Rav Ashi. And Rav Papa, on the other hand, did not have Rav Ashi shayla, because lacha, a moist barley, is not called the sa'ira. Shabayla smikri. It's a different name altogether. And shalai b'kli pasa, if it doesn't have its peel on it, ushli mikri. It's again not called sa'ira. So sa'ira, by definition, is with its peel and dry. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yehuda, k'soivas agasa sh'amru, when Chazal speak about a k'soivas agasa, yiseir mikabeya, it's larger than a beya, it's a shear that we have very often, the kimul rabbanon, and Chazal determined the mahoch miyasvei daiti, that is the amount that satisfies one person. And as we explained in the previous year, eating Yom Kippur, the shear is not dependent on achila. It depends on yishev adas, satisfaction. And Chazal determined that a kesevis brings satisfaction, but smahachi, less than that, lemiyas v'dati, doesn't bring satisfaction. So the Sfas Emes, the Sikh Yitzchak, ask that we know that the Pasuk says, regarding Eretz Yisrael, Eretz, Chitas, Oira, Geffen, Verimain, the Mishnah mentions the Shivas Aminim, and the Gemara says many times throughout Shas that the point of the Pasuk is to teach us that these are the fruits to use for a measurement, that it's Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, what the measurements are. So what's the Gemara saying? That this is what Chazal determined is the shear. It has nothing to do with the determination of Chazal. All the Shiurim are Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. So the Sfas Emes says, yes, the fact that a kaseves is the shear on Yom Kippur is Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. But as we started the shear just a few moments ago, we don't know what a kaseves means. With its pit, without its pit, how do we look at the pit? That is not Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, and that was the Chazal's job to determine what kaseves means. The Sikh Yitzchak quotes a Meritz Chayis that says that although the Pasuk teaches us that these fruits are the shiurim, But it says kazayis, it says kebeyit, it says kesevis. Who is to determine when we use a kazayis? In which circumstance we use a kazayis? In which circumstance we use a kesevis? In which circumstance we use a kebeya? That's Chazal's job. So our Gemara just taught us that the shear of eating on Yom Kippur depends on Yisuvei Data, on what brings Yishuv Hadas. So there's a Shaila asked to Rav Shamshner Fol Hirsch that we know that throughout the Torah Machol Sasurus, when you eat something not kosher, it's only considered that you ate it not kosher if you ate it. You chewed it and you ate it. Let's say somebody was fed through a tube something non-kosher, that's not considered that he ate something non-kosher. What will be the halacha on Yom Kippur? He ate, but he didn't eat in a normal way. It was ingested in his body, not through eating. Will he be considered that he ate on Yom Kippur? So Shamshon Farl Hirsch, actually some Sofer says the same thing, based on this Gemara, says that the point is Yishuv Hadas, that the person feels full. So makes no difference, says Rav Shamshon Farl Hirsch, if he ate in a normal fashion or he ate through a food tube. He ate. His body was satiated, and therefore he's chayiv. The Panami Iris, Shalos Chuvos Panami Iris, says the same thing regarding benching. We'll talk about benching more later in the shir. V'chalta v'savata, to bench you have to be full, so it makes no difference how you ate, as long as you're full. The Chayezer, Rav Chaim Oizer, disagrees. He says that on Yom Kippur, for one to be chayiv, it has to be that you ate in a normal fashion. And if you didn't eat in a normal fashion, even though you feel full, you're not chayiv for eating on Yom Kippur. And it's a relevant shaila. I'll give you another example, two other examples. The Shaila Sechus Binyan Tzion, the son of the Night of Yehuda, speaks about a shaila like this. Let's say there's a person who's not well, and the doctors tell him he has to eat on Yom Kippur, but he doesn't have to eat a kesevis. He only has to eat half a kesevis. And he ends up eating kesevis. So if he would have only eaten the kesevis, half a kesevis, he wouldn't be full. By now eating the whole kesevis, which he had no right to do, he's full. Will it be considered that he ate on Yom Kippur? Because he ate a kesevis. On the other hand, you could say he's not full, he's not chayiv, because he only ate a half a kesevis that he wasn't supposed to. The first half he was allowed to. The Ksav Sofer asks a similar shaila. He discusses a shaila where, let's say, Yom Kippur, the zman for Yom Kippur is 7 p.m. And a person at 6:58 ate a big meal, and he ate a drop less than a kesevis. And now, Yom Kippur is 7 o'clock, and he eats a drop. But for him to feel full, he doesn't eat a kesevis at this time. He just ate a large meal. So perhaps, even though he didn't eat a kesevis, he'll be chayiv, because he's full. So the Gemara says that a kesevis, which we're saying is the shear for Yom Kippur, is larger than a beya. Meisvei asked the Gemara from Gemara Masech to Sukkah. Meisvei vevila l'Rab Yochanan. They brought to Rab Yochanan and Zakkai, lit them as a tafshul, to taste the food. Ula Rab Gamliel steak service, two dates, v'dli shalmayim, and a jug of water. V'omah helem l'sukkah. And he said, take it up to the Sukkah, I won't eat these foods outside of Sukkah. The Tani law, and regarding this Gemara, regarding this story we learned, it's not that the require that the halacha is that these foods, this type of food in these circumstances, have to be eaten in the sukkah. They wanted to be machma. Like the Meiri explains, that even though in halacha it's not always appropriate to be machma, where the Chazal tell you not to do something, you're not supposed to do it, Chazal say differently. Here you're allowed to be machma. Why? Because although these foods may be eaten chutz l'sukkah, the person, if he's eating chutz l'sukkah, may come to eat what you're supposed to eat in the sukkah, chutz l'sukkah. So you're allowed to be machma. Now the Gemara quotes another story. K'shnosun l'Rab Tzadik. Here they gave to Rab Tzadik, but here they gave him bread. So there's a number of concepts about the bread. First of all, it was oichel pox mekabeya. The bread was less than a beya. Not l'bamapa. He didn't wash his hands. He just put his hands, he wrapped his hands. Achloi, he ate this bread chutz l'sukkah. And v'loi berich achrov, he did not bench. So let's discuss each one of the kulas. Like Rashi points out, he did three kulas. The first kula was not the b'mapa. He didn't wash, he just wrapped his hands. So Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos why he's wrapped his hands. Rashi says he wrapped his hands. Nina Sadas, he didn't want to eat with bare hands. Tosfos says that he wrapped his hands because less than a kebeya is not makabel tumah. So therefore there's no need to wash his hands. So it's very interesting. The Achronim point out, and we'll actually talk about it in the next year, that throughout Shas, we have Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how much food is makabel tumah. Everybody agrees that to transmit tumah, you have to have a kebeya of food. The question is to be makabel tumah. Rashi says that even less than a beya is makabel tumah. Tosfos says that less than a beya is not makabel tumah. Yet here we see just the opposite. Tosfos is concerned for tumah, even though it's less than a beya. And Rashi doesn't seem to mention anything about it. So we need to understand both Rashi and Tosfos. So Tosfos, the way the Mefarshim explain, say when are we not concerned about food that's less than a beya? That's when it's just plain chulin. But Rav Tzadok was a kohen, and he even ate chulin with the same level of stringency as truma. Truma, Tosfos will agree, you always have to worry about tumah even when it's less than a beya. But how do we understand Rashi? The way to understand Rashi, the Mefarshim say, is that since it was less than a beya, he didn't want to make the mistake of washing his hands in the regular fashion, even though it's certainly mekabel tumah, because he may come to make a bracha on Tilas Yadayim, and you're not supposed to make on Tilas Yadayim when you're eating less than a beya. So instead of washing his hands in the regular way and perhaps making a bracha, he just wrapped his hands. The next thing is, he ate at chutz l'sukkah. So the question the Mefarshim ask is that, just like we saw a moment ago regarding Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and regarding Rabbi Gamliel, that they were machmer and they ate chutz l'sukkah. They didn't eat anything chutz l'sukkah. Rabbi Tzadok was also a Tana. How did he eat chutz l'sukkah? The answer is, he felt that if he'll eat it in the sukkah, he may come to make an error and make a bracha leishah b'sukkah. And you're not supposed to make a leishah b'sukkah. So he preferred to eat chutz l'sukkah to avoid chas v'shalom making a bracha levatolam. Now the next question is, the next kula was v'loy berich achrov. He didn't make a bracha achroina. But as we're going to learn, again in Amud Beis, that we're makbid to make a bracha achroina whenever we eat any small amount of bread. So why didn't he make a bracha achroina? So the Mishnah Berurah in the Bria Halacha says v'loy berich achrov doesn't mean that he didn't make a bracha achroina. He made a bracha achroina, but he wasn't mechuyiv to make that bracha achroina midaraisa. He only made the bracha achroina midarabonah. Now says the Gemara, what do we see from here? That why did Reb Tzadok eat this amount of bread outside the sukkah? Because it was less than a beya. Hak beya, had he eaten the amount of bread that was a beya, by a sukkah, he would have eaten in the sukkah. Ask the Gemara, v'isakadaitach, if you're going to say, k'seves agasa, a date with its pit, sha'amru, that we spoke about regarding Yom Kippur, is yeser mikabeya, is larger than a kebeya. So let's figure out. Hashta. Steak serves for lagarinin. Rabbi Gamliel ate two dates. Actually, they didn't have their pits in them because he didn't eat the pit. Lo yav a kebeya. That's not the size of a kebeya. Kesevas agas of a greener. So it's obviously less than a beya. What's the proof that it's less than a beya? Because we're saying that it was only machmer. He didn't have to eat it in the sukkah. So if two dates, albeit missing their pits, don't equal a beya, kesevas agas v'grinoso, with one pit, even if it has its, with one date, even if it has its pit in it, have yiseir mikabeya is more than an egg, doesn't make sense. So the Gemara's question is, how can we establish or assume that a kesevas is larger than a beya if we see that two kesevas, even though they don't have their pits, are less than a beya? Certainly, one kesevas, even though it has its pit in it, certainly can't be more than a beya. Says the Gemara, wrong. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, in shtei kesevas b'loy grinason, two dates missing the pits, lo yav kebeya, don't equal a kebeya. However, kesevas agasa v'grinasa, a kesevas agasa and its pit will be haviyaser mekebeya. Why? Because the pit of the kesevas agasa is very large. And Omer HaPapa, that's what HaPapa says, Haini da Amri Inchi, that's what people say, that if you have trei kav de tamra, if you have two kav of fruit, chad kav de kashis of a suriach, you'll have more than one calf a pit, because the pits take up more room than the fruit. And in fact, I saw a very interesting vart from the Chassam Sofer. He says, part of the reason why Chazal chose the keseves to be the fruit to use as the measuring stick on Yom Kippur is as follows. The Gemara says that if a person is mostly mitzvahs, then he's fine. If a person is mostly has most averus, he has problems. What's Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is the day of tshuva. Yom Kippur is the day, tells us the Gemara, that everybody should look at himself like he's a keseves, that he has more pit than fruit, that he has more averus than mitzvahs, and he has to do tshuva on the fact that he has more averus than mitzvahs, and not stay in that state of being chas v'sholom roiv averus. Before we go further, the Magen Avraham points out that when we speak about a keseves and its pit, it's relevant to another subject in halacha. It's relevant to Hilchas Brachas, because the halacha is that although, as we will learn, there are shiurim when a bracha is made and not made, the halacha, however, is that on a berya, on a full fruit, you have to make a bracha, no matter what size it is. That's why, let's say somebody has just one grape. It's a small grape, but it's a full grape. You have to make a bracha. Let's say you have a fruit, like a date, but it has in it its pit. It has in it its pit. So now you're not going to eat the pit. So you don't make a bracha. Unless it's the right shear, you don't make a bracha, because the pit doesn't make... Since you're not eating all of it, you're not eating the pit, it's not considered that you ate a berya. In fact, the Mishnah Brewer in the Bir Halacha makes an observation. He says, the Mishnah, the Gemara we're learning, uses keseves as the model of something that if you eat this on Yom Kippur, you're chayiv for eating on Yom Kippur. But you wouldn't be chayiv, because the keseves has the date, has the pit. You don't eat the pit. So you wouldn't be chayiv if you ate a date. So Mishnah Brewer says that the keseves that's being referred to in our Mishnah and Gemara is talking about a soft pit, where the pit is also eaten. Otherwise it would make no sense, as the Mishnah Brewer, that just this fruit is the fruit used as the example for what you chayiv on Yom Kippur. Rav Amar. Rav says, you can't bring a proof from that story with Rav Gamliel regarding the size, and is it bigger or smaller. There they ate a kesevis. Hosm ha'netam shum davalei peri. A date is a fruit. Or peri like by a sukkah. And eating a fruit doesn't require a sukkah. So maybe a kesevis is bigger than a beya. Maybe it's smaller than a beya. It has nothing to do. He can eat the kesevis al pidin chutz l'sukkah, because it's a fruit. And a fruit doesn't have to be eaten in the sukkah. Meisvei, Am Rebbe. Rabbi said, "Kishinu lamed Torah Eitzel Rabbi Lezer ben Shemua. When we're learning Torah, Rabbi Lezer ben Shemua, heviu lefun of tainim v'anovim. We got dates and grapes. V'chal no achilas aroy chutz l'sukkah. We ate them outside of the sukkah, only in achilas aroy. So what do we see? Achilas aroy in, only because it wasn't like a sit down. It was just temporary. Achilas kva loy, even though it's a fruit." Says the Gemara, Ema, the way to understand what he meant was, Achalnum kachilas aroy chutz l'sukkah. Whenever you eat fruit, it has the status of an achilas aroy, and maybe eaten chutz l'sukkah, no matter how you're eating it. Vibay say, Achalnum achilas kva. We ate the fruit, and we ate the fruit achilas kva. But that's not a problem, because fruit could be eaten chutz l'sukkah. However, Vachalnu pas achilas aroy bahadayu, if we ate the bread with it, but the bread that was eaten, even though bread must be eaten in the sukkah, we ate that bread in a temporary fashion, that's why it was allowed to be eaten chutz l'sukkah. Lema Masayle, so the Gemara says, perhaps we'll bring a proof that fruit, no matter how much you eat, may be eaten chutz l'sukkah, because Rebbe Lezer in Masechta Sukkah teaches us that over the Yontif Sukkah, over the Yontif Sukkahs, a person has to eat 14 meals in the Sukkah. Let's say somebody missed a meal, and now he wants to make it up. Says Rebbe Lezer, Lefikach, im hishlam b'minei targima, if you eat, tagima means mezoinus, something made out of the fine grains, yotza. That can be considered that you ate a meal. If you're going to say that even eating fruit, you have to eat in the sukkah, why does he have to say mina tagima? Listen, Paris, he said even fruit could be used to make up the 40 meals. Says the Gemara, that's what he means. My mina tagima, it means Paris. So there is no proof that fruit could be eaten chutzla sukkah. Vibayis ema, ba'asra de la shchicha peri. He lived in a place where there was no fruit available. So since there was no fruit available, he didn't use fruit as an example of something that could be eaten to make up the 14 meals, because there was no fruit available. So Mefarshim explained, la halacha, that even the shittas that hold that fruit is mechuyev to be eaten in the sukkah, and therefore could be eaten, could be used to make up the amount, it's not all fruits. It's only the shivas haminim from Eretz Yisrael. What's the proof? It says, because there's no place in the world that has no fruit. But Asur L'Shchicha Peri has no fruit at all. It could be a place that doesn't have any of the Zion Minim. But not to have any fruit at all makes no sense. That's why even the man, the Amid, that holds that Targima means fruit, and you could use it to, and you have to eat it in the Sukkah, and it could be used to make up the 40 meals, it's only one of the Shivas Haminim. There are two things, before we go further, that are spoken about L'Haloch L'Maisa. Taisa says that here the Gemara says that mina targima may mean fruit. So what does Taisa discuss? Taisa discusses, can you use fruit as for shalosh shudas? Taisa's Masechet Pesachim says very clearly that for the Friday night meal and the Shabbos by day meal, you have to wash and eat bread. There's no question to be considered that you ate the Suda Shabbos. The question comes up for Suda Shlishas. And Taisa says, if Al Gemara is calling fruit Targima, perhaps you could be Yotzei Shal Shudas with fruit. But Taisa says that that's incorrect. Taisa says you can't eat fruit, you can't use fruit for Shal Shudas. Actually, in the Shulchan Aruch, there are four different days what you could use for Shal Shudas. One day, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says one should do, is you have to eat bread. Another day is you have to eat at least a mezoinus or something substantial. A third day is you have to eat something substantial like meat or fish. And the fourth day is you can be yotze with fruit. The Mefarshim explained that the machloikus of the 4 days will also be relevant to another shaila. The shaila is, let's say somebody didn't say Ritzevach Litzenu Friday night or Shabbos by day. He has to repeat Birchas Hamazon. What happens if somebody omitted it by Shalosh Shudas? Depending what you have to eat for Shalosh Shudas will depend if you have to repeat Birchas Hamazon. If the halacha is you have to wash to eat bread, then if you missed it, you have to say Ritzei Vech Litzeinu. If you say you could be Yotze Shalosh Shudas with fruit, then you don't have to repeat. That shita will hold that you don't have to repeat Ritzei Vech Litzeinu, even if you washed for Shalosh Shudas and skipped it. The Klaus Magareb I saw in a tshuv in Divrei Yatziv says that even if you hold that you can be Yotze Shal Shudas with fruit, it has to be cooked fruit. Raw fruit will not be considered choshev enough to be Yotze Shal Shudas with, and that's why he says you can't be Yotze Shal Shudas with drinking wine, because wine is not necessarily cooked. And he says that even if the wine is cooked, cooking in wine, pasteurization, we know is only chisorin, not a maila. That's why he says that you cannot say drinking a cup of wine is equal to eating a fruit, because you have to eat cooked fruit. One more shaila is regarding sukkah. Here we're saying that fruit, la maskona, could be eaten chutz la sukkah. Again, the Shulchan Aruch and the Paiskim say it's a worthwhile thing to be makbid to eat everything in the sukkah, like we spoke about on Amun Aleph. But al pidin, the only thing that has to be eaten in the sukkah is bread or a mezoinus, if the mezoinus is eaten b'derech kva. Let's say someone is eating a mezoinus. He's taking a small piece of cake, but he's eating it not b'derech kva. The halacha is it still should be eaten in the sukkah, but don't make a leisha b'sukkah. What's the exception? The exception, the halacha is that let's say somebody's making kiddush, and he's eating a piece of cake to be mekayim kiddush b'makom suda. So even if he's eating the cake b'derech arai, since this cake is so significant, it's causing the Kiddush to be considered Kiddush b'makom suda, then you could eat, then you make a bracha leisha b'sukkah on that cake. There is one exception, I saw interesting, there is one exception. How much cake or bread do you have to eat to be mechayev to make a leisha b'sukkah? A kebeya. There's one time where you only have to eat a kezayis, the first night. The first night of sukkahs, since there's a chiyev, besides the mitzvah leisha, besides the regular inyan of making a leisha b'sukkah, there's a chiyev that you have to eat in the sukkah the first night. That's why if it's raining, you have to eat in the sukkah anyway. You have to wait till chatzos. There, halach is that even if you only eat a kezayis of bread, you still make a leisha b'sukkah. But certainly, al pi din, the first night, when a person, by every meal, when a person's eating bread and he makes a leisha b'sukkah, he should eat a kebeya bread. So we're back to where we want to discuss kesevas agasa in relation to kebeya. Is it bigger? Is it smaller? Rav Zvid Amar, kesevas agasa sh'amru. When we speak about a kesevas agasa, chaser mi kebeya. It's smaller than a kebeya. What's the proof? That not. Beshamay omrim s'or b'kezayis. On Pesach, there's an issa by Yiro, by Yimotzi. You're not allowed to own chametz, besides owning chametz. Sar b'kezayis, chametz b'kesevas. The shear of owning yeast, or something that can make something else chametz, is the size of a kezayis. The shear of chametz b'kesevas. Vavina b'av my tam, and we try to understand b'shamay, my tam of b'shamay. So answers b'shamay, nichta rachmana chametz. The Torah should have only written chametz, v'na amina, and I would say, v'loy by sar, and not mention sar. Vanamina will say, or ma chametz ein chametz kavsha. Chametz is not such a significant chametz. It is chametz, but it can't make something else chametz. Osir, one may not own it on Pesach, and it's also because I is sor she chametz kavsha. Could it has the power to make something else chametz? She chametz kavsha like kashkein. So why does the Torah have to mention sor separately? Tells us by Shammai, mid the palgun and rachmana, since the Torah mentions both chametz and sar separately, limdachot, teach you shira shazeh like shira shazeh, they don't have the same shear. Sar, the shear is kezayis, the chametz the kesevis. So all the mefarshim ask, the Gemara is saying that had the Torah not written sar, I would know it anyway. Why? Because I learned it from chametz. They ask that we have a klal, we've spoken about it many times in Shas, ein einshim adin, that we can't create an iser just with a kal v'chaymer. So here, we're creating an iser with a kal v'chaymer. So how can you do that? So some say that we're going according to the shita, that einshim adin. Others say, when do we say ein einshim adin? That's where there's no essay involved, where it's only a lav. Here there's an essay involved. There's an essay that you have to destroy chametz. By an essay, we can learn a kal v'chaymer. Another teretz that I saw is, here we're talking about the issa by yirah by matz of owning chametz. Regarding eating chametz, the Torah already told us, you're not allowed to eat chametz, you're not allowed to eat sar. So once we already know that sar is asr, and chametz is asr, so just expanding it and saying that the chametz issa would also apply to sar, is not considered that I'm creating something. The basis is already here. And therefore, it's not an issue of Ein Einshim and Adin. Now, ask the Gemara, Isak Adatach, Kesevis Hagasa Sh'amru, Yisera Mikabeya, if I'm going to say that the Kesevis is larger than Kabeya, Michti. Beshameh Ashur, the Nofesh Mikazayas Kamahadri. Beshameh is saying that we have two items. We have one item called Chametz, and we have another item called Tzor. And tsar is a smaller amount to be chayif by yirah by matzah than chametz. So why does he jump and say that this is a kezayis and this is a kesevis? He should have said a kezayis and a kebeya. Why did he pick a kesevis? It must be because kesevis is less to than it. Vi sakadat again in the Gemara. Kesevis agas shami yisera kebeya michti. What is Beshami trying to accomplish? Ashura the nofish b'kezayis kamahadri. He wants something that's larger than kezayis. Listening kebeya, he should have said kebeya. Vinami. And even if you'll say ki adadi ninu, that the sheer kebaya and the sheer kesevis are identical, still nisni kebaya. He should rather mention kebaya because the kebaya is a lot more common than a kesevis. Elav, isn't this a proof? Elav shmamino, isn't this a proof that kesevis is less than a kebaya? And that's why when we want to go to this thing after Beya, we go to Kesevis. After Kesevis, we go to Kesevis, not to Kebeya. Says the Gemara of Ma'ai. Dima Oymalach, Kesevis Agasish Amru, the Kesevis Agas that we're discussing regarding Yom Kippur is Yisrael Kebeya, is larger than Kebeya. Hostama Kebeya, a regular Kesevis, which is the amount that Beshama is referring to regarding Bayirob and Matzah, is the same as a Kebeya. And the Chodma, Nayanokit, and Chazal chose, you're right, he could have said Kebeya, Beshamim could have said Kebeya, but it chose, this is the way the Bach learned the Gemara. But the Gemara preferred, the Gemara could have said Kebeya, the Gemara could have said Kesevis, the Gemara chose Kesevis. Beshamim chose Kesevis. Tosfos Hashanim asks, there's another shear that we find in Shas, very commonly found in Masechet Shabbos, Kregris. So as for Tosfos Hashanim, Kregris is certainly less than a Kesevis, because Kregris is when it's dried out. So why don't we say, we're going to look for something larger than a Kesevis, so why don't we say it's a Kregris? So the Mefarshim explained that Kregris is not a shear that we ever find regarding eating, regarding foodstuff. Kregris is a shear regarding carrying. Here we're talking regarding eating. So we're still trying to identify what is bigger, a kezayis or a kebeya or a kesevis. Says the Gemara, kama mezamnim. There's a Gemara mesechta brachos. How much do you have to eat to be mechayev in zimun? Like the Netziv explains in the Meraim Sada, it's not only a shaila regarding zimun, it's also regarding how much do you have to eat to be mechayev in benching midaraisa. At kezayis to v'remeya. According to Remeya, the shear is kezayis. Yehudaima at kebeya. The shear is a kebeya. V'maikum efki. What is the machloikus? Remeya sover. Remeya holds. The pachta says v'chalta su achila. Savata su shtia. V'chila b'kezayis. So there's a very big machloikus how to understand v'savata. When Remeya says v'savata su shtia, what does it mean? And it has a lot of very relevant practical ramifications la locha. Some we shall explain the savata zushtia. The Rameya says that when one drinks wine midoraisa, he has to make a bracha achroina, that the bracha main sholosh that one makes after drinking wine is a chiv deraisa, which would mean that if somebody drank wine and he had a shail if he made a bracha achroina, when normally Suffolk brachas lahakel. Since this bracha is a chiv deraisa, he would have to say a bracha main shalosh. Other rishonim explain that what does the savata zushtia mean? That eating, when are you chayiv to bench? You're only chayiv to bench if you ate and you drank. But let's say you ate a meal and you didn't drink anything, then you're not chayiv to bench. Says the Chazon Ish, this has two relevant halacha ramifications. One, he says, is, let's say there's a group of people that ate together, and they're going to bench. One of them ate and drank, and one of them didn't eat and drink. Who should be the one leading benching? The one that drank. Because he's mechuyev to bench midaraisa. The person who didn't drink is not mechuyev to bench midaraisa. Another thing the Chazon Ish says, halacha, he says like this, let's say somebody ate, didn't drink, benches. And then after he finishes benching, he takes a drink. Says the Chazon Ish, according to this, he has to bench again. Because the first time that he benched, he was not mechuyiv midaraisa, he was only mechuyiv midrabanan. Now he's mechuyiv to bench midaraisa, because he drank. So the benching that he benched, that was only midrabanan, will not satisfy the chiyiv deraisa. Benching, the eschadas doesn't take away the chiyiv benching, as long as it's toich shirikul. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, v'chalta v'savata, achila shiesh by sevia. It has to be that you ate enough that it causes satiation. Ve'zeze, kebeya. How much eating it causes satiation? A kebeya. Says the Gemara. V'sakadat k'sovis agasash amru. Yaser Mikabeya, it will say Kasevis is larger than a Kabeya, Hashta. Kabeya Savui Masaba. It was saying that a Kabeya has the ability to satiate. And that's why you mechuyev to bench. When you ate a Kabeya, Data La Miasma. So it certainly causes Yishavadas. So why in our Mishnah do we say that the Shira on Yom Kippur is a Kasevis? We should say the Shira is Kabeya. El Lav Shmamino. What do we see from here? Kasevis Agash Sha'amr is Pachos Mikabeya. It's less than a Kabeya. Kabeya is what's needed to be Mazba, to cause satiation. Kasevis doesn't cause satiation, but it does cause Miyas V'dat, it causes Yish V'das, which is all that's needed to be Chayiv for eating on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara conclusively proves that you have a Kazayas, then you have a Kasevis, and then you have a Kabeya.